All right, let's get into it then. Let it be. Big show, dare I say. Let's get right into it. Come together. Apparently, in some of my minimal research this morning, this was a this song came about from a song John wrote for Timothy Leary's gubernatorial campaign against Ronald Reagan in the late 60s, early 70s. And then he redid some of the lyrics when they decided to record Abbey Road, yeah. Twisted them around a little bit.
He redid the entire song, actually, because the two songs don't sound anything like each other.
Okay.
And the lyric to the Leary song was "Come Together, Join the Party."
And I tried and I tried and I tried and I couldn't come up with it. But I came up with this "Come Together," which would be no good. You couldn't have a campaign song like that, right?
Right.
So I wrote another little thing called "Come Together and Join the Party." Come together and join the party. And it never got further than that. And they never came back to ask for the song.
And he just liked the term "Come Together," and it just forked into a different song.
And there's some kind of another songwriter claimed that he took some of the lyrics from a song called, from Morris Levy. But apparently, Here Come Old Flat Top was in that song or something.
I thought it was a Chuck Berry song. Unfortunately, I haven't done any research. I'm just going off what I read in the past. But I thought it was a Chuck Berry song. I thought Chuck Berry was the one who sued him.
It says, here on Wikipedia, it says, the song was later the subject of a lawsuit brought against Lennon by Morris Levy because the opening line in "Come Together, Here Come Old Flat Top" was admittedly lifted from a Chuck Berry song called "You Can't Catch Me."
Okay.
Yeah, come on, flat top, he was moving up with me. Then come waving goodbye in a little old souped-up jitney.
John Lennon just used the lyric because he liked it. It wasn't like it was like somebody quoting Shakespeare or something. And then this guy claims it's plagiarism just because they lifted a couple words.
Apparently, he reached some kind of settlement where he had to record a couple of songs for this guy.
Yeah, that's what caused the rock and roll music album to be recorded.
Oh, okay. All right, so I thought that this song has great lyrics. I always like the lyrics. They're weird, but they're cool. It's like "shoota" or what is that?
No, it's that's John Lennon. He's saying "shoot me."
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, I never knew that. But I always thought that was cool. What's the story behind that?
He just liked the sound of it, and it fits in perfectly with the bass. And I thought it was like an effect when I first heard it, way way back.
Uh huh.
And then it turns out to just be John using his voice.
Yeah, that's cool.
But he's saying "shoot me." I read that in the Mark Lewisohn book, the recording sessions book. And if you take away all the effects, I mean, if you take away all the music, all the instrumentation, you can actually hear him say "shoot me." Shoot me.
Come together right now over me. Shoot me. Right.
The bass, you just kind of mentioned it. The bass is just awesome in this song.
Yeah.
The guitar riff is iconic. It's just a great, guitar riff. Is that the keyboard or the organ? I'm not sure. Correct me. Is that Billy Preston playing that, or is that one of the Beatles?
I really don't know. Yeah, that's a good question.
Apparently, I have to do all the work around here. Yes. It was an uncredited Billy Preston.
And my last comment is the Aerosmith cover sucks. So, what do you got? Oh, I'm giving this song a thumbs up, too.
Oh, yeah, a definite thumbs up. A definite thumbs up. Yeah, it's kind of hard to top this. This has such a distinct sound that you can't better it unless you go completely in a different direction.
Absolutely.
So yeah, that's Aerosmith had their work cut out for them, and they didn't live up to the promise, even though.
No, definitely not. Nobody should cover this song. It should not should be a song that should be outlawed from covering.
Yeah, and it's like only John Lennon could get away with lyrics like that.
Absolutely, yeah, for sure. Yeah, this would have been a kind of cool song to hear him play live in the 70s when he was touring a little bit.
Yeah. Did he do this on the Toronto album?
Yes.
Good question.
Not really.
I don't think so.
Wrong.
I thought he did.
He did.
Something... What do you got?
One, two, three.
This is a classic. I mean, what else can you say about it? It's a great song. It's a nice recording, too. It just sounds really good, and it's a classic song. It could be George Harrison's best.
Wow. I was going to say, is it overproduced a little bit? But I'm guessing you don't think so.
Yeah, you know, it could be. There is a lot in it. It probably didn't need everything that's in there, but I don't mind it that much.
I was wondering if there's a stripped-down version out there of this. Because I think that would be great. But, like you said, it is a classic. The lyrics are fantastic. Patty Boyd's had some great songs written about her. the guitar is just amazing. I mean, I hate to use that word, but in this case, it's definitely warranted. I kind of dig McCartney's cover of this when he's touring. I think it sounds pretty cool. It starts out on the ukulele. We talked about this before.
Yeah, that's from Concert for George, which, once again, I recommend wholeheartedly.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's just, this is a great song.
Something is on the anthology CDs, so I'm afraid to click on it and lose connection, but it is on the anthology.
Is it a stripped-down version?
I don't remember.
This is getting pathetic. Yes, it's a solo studio demo.
I'm going to check that out again, because that sounds like this song is just rife for a stripped-down version. But I love this song. It is probably one of George's best, in the Beatles era anyway. So I'm giving it a thumbs up. Sounds like you are too. Maxwell Silver Hammer. I'm sure John, I know John hated this song. A really dark song masked in like this catchy, you know, sounding medley and catchy chorus and the hammer sound effect in there. But it's a really dark song. I mean, everybody's dying in it. And it would make a great video, you know, old school video, not like the crap they're making now. And I said, I know John hated this song, but I love it, giving it a thumbs up. What do you think?
I'm on John's side.
No, oh, wow.
I've always thought this song was pretty stupid, and I don't understand. Are we supposed to sympathize with this guy? He's a serial killer.
Exactly.
So screw him. I don't get it. I mean, why is he even doing... Why is he going around hitting people or killing people by hitting them on the head? I don't get it.
I've never figured it out.
So I don't like it. And it's kind of funny that this is... Right here, this song is the song that killed the Beatles.
What do you mean?
that John hated it so much, he didn't even participate in the recording of it.
Yeah, that's true.
So everybody blames Yoko for breaking up the Beatles, but no, it was this song right here. That's what broke the Beatles.
His quote is, more of Paul's granny music.
Yeah.
Well, I like it, but what can I say?
No, I really don't like this song.
So do you skip this tune?
Yes. Yeah. As a matter of fact, spoiler warning, I skip the rest of this side.
Really?
Yes.
So, Oh Darling, you don't like that either?
Not really.
Wow. Well, I'll just give you my notes real quick. I think it's a good rocker. The vocal is awesome. He does a little Richard thing in there, you know, kind of like, you know, when he does the woo.
Yep.
I'm sure, and John wanted to sing this song. He thought it was more suited to his voice, but that didn't work out. And I guess he really kind of tried to wreck his voice for, and there's something about he was trying to wreck his voice for a whole week because he didn't want it to sound like, you know, real clear and crystal, so he wanted to sound more rough and ragged, and he definitely succeeded.
Yeah, they did dozens and dozens of takes, if not in over 100 takes of this song, because Paul was dissatisfied with the sound of his voice. He would record at different times of the day. He'd record first thing in the morning. He'd sing in different positions, like sometimes lying on his back, just to get a different sound out of him. So, you know, I appreciate that, but the end result, I don't think the end result sounds that much different than the other rock songs that Paul's done. I think the vocals for Helter Skelter are rougher than this.
True. True.
And I just don't like... The song is like a throwback to like a 50s type song, and I just don't care for that. I would have liked it if he'd just done a straight rocker, kind of like Helter Skelter.
But I think it does rock in its own right. But you're right, there's some...
Yeah, but it rocks in that old-time style.
When you told me you didn't need me anymore, oh, well, you know I nearly fell down and cried. When you told me you didn't need me anymore, oh, well, you know I nearly fell down and died. Oh, darling, please believe.
Okay, so we've already established you're skipping the rest of the side, so I'm just going to come out and say it. Octopus's Garden is next, and this is the low point of the entire album. This song is terrible, and...
1, 2, 3, 4.
It doesn't even belong on this album. I hate to say it, but I mean, it just doesn't fit at all. It sounds like it should be on Yellow Submarine.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it's such a kid's song, and the sound effects with the water and stuff, it's like, really, Ringo? I mean, I'm sorry. I hate the bag on him, because I've really been giving him a lot of props the last couple weeks, because I think I didn't realize how good he was on some of these tunes, but this song is just terrible. I hate it, and I almost couldn't stand listening to it a couple days ago. I'm assuming you don't like it either, right?
No, I do like it. I like it more than you, definitely. Or more than you do, I should say. I like it more than you do, but... actually, I don't mind the song, but it's not enough to keep me going through side one of Abbey Road. But I do like the song. And I like the water effects. It's kind of cute. And I just read recently that an octopus's garden is a real thing. Octopuses do make gardens.
Yeah, I think I read that too.
Yes,
yeah,
so I was surprised. I thought it was just some silly little phrase that Ringo came up with, but no, an octopus does landscape the area that they live in. So I thought that was kind of funny. And that's where he got the idea from the song, because he heard that.
Do you think this song fits on this album?
No, but I mean, that's no reason to keep it off the album. It's nice for a change of pace. But yeah, definitely, it's like a throwback to Yellow Submarine. I never even thought of that, but yeah, it definitely should be on Yellow Submarine. They could have a little thing with an octopus gardening.
Yeah, it's just, God, I don't know. I Want You, She's So Happy. I love this song. There's nothing to it, but I mean, it's lyrically, but I just think it's great. And the guitar follows John's voice at the beginning, and the percussion is awesome. The bass is fantastic, and he changes. I love how his voice changes as the song goes on. He gets more pleading and begging, and it's just, it's awesome. And it just kind of stinks. It's all about Yoko, but it's still a fantastic song. And yeah, I love it.
Yeah, it's a good song. It's definitely a rocker, and it's the kind of really long album track that rock radio hit a lot back then. I think DJs loved it because they could have like 7 minutes to go to the bathroom while they're on the job.
Right. So do you skip this song too?
Yeah, it's just too long for me, and there's no development. It's just two songs squashed together, so it's not like one leads into another. It's just, and then once they get to the "She's So Heavy" part, it's just that over and over and over again for 4 or 5 minutes, and it's just the song. To be blunt, the song bores me. So yeah, I skip it. But I mean, it's a big rock song, so that's kind of cool. But it's just too long for me.
Now, this is probably one of my top two favorite Beatle albums. I'm thinking you might not be on that fence here.
Yeah, it is kind of strange. I was gonna say love hate relationship with this album, but it's not as strong as hate. It's just the good stuff on it is really good, and the other stuff just, I don't know. I'm incoherent again because it's so early. I need more sleep.
Here comes the sun.
2, 3, 4.
This is awesome. It's a classic George song. He has, I mean, obviously both of his songs in this album are fantastic, which is great. And I'd like to hear a stripped down version of this without all the other stuff going on, just him and the guitar. But the bass sounds great as normal, and this is just a pretty song. I mean, I just this is a great song. I love it, and it's a great way for them to go out. You know, George to go out. You know, if we're not counting Abbey Road as their last album, but I mean, just a great way for him to go out with these two songs. This is great. What do you got?
I agree. This is an excellent song. I would love to have been in the studio when George showed up with these two songs and played them for the Beatles. I would love to see their response.
Absolutely, because they had to be. I mean, these songs are just so good. I mean, it's definitely on par with Lennon and McCartney compositions. Both of them are. Yeah, I'd like to know what they thought, too. Obviously, they thought enough of them to put them on the album.
Yeah, and to make... I don't know if Here Comes the Sun was a single, but Something was definitely a single.
Right. Yeah, they're both just fantastic.
It was pretty cool to see the Beatles go out on top, even though this is officially not their last album, but it was the last album they recorded.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, this album is obviously much better than Let It Be. Because?
I don't even know if I'd say that.
Really?
Yeah, I think, for me personally, I think Let It Be is better consistency than Abbey Road. Because I don't skip giant sections of Let It Be.
Yeah, see, I don't skip only but one song in this whole album, so... I like it much more than you do.
But, having said that, Abbey Road has better songs than Let It Be.
Yep, yes, absolutely. Because... What do you think? I have down here. I like. Is that a harpsichord? What is that?
1, 2, 3, 4.
No. I think it's a synthesizer. It's supposed to sound, or it could be like a mellotron. It's supposed to sound like a harpsichord, but it's not a real harpsichord.
Yeah, it's just really cool sounding.
Technically right. It's an electric harpsichord. So yes, it is not authentic.
The guitar kicking in there is cool. And are all the Beatles singing on this? Is
yes.
It all? Yeah, it's fantastic.
Well,
and
not Ringo.
Not Ringo?
No, Ringo's not. I'm pretty sure Ringo is not singing.
And this song is so cool. I can just see somebody tripping out in 69 and just mind-blowing. I mean, you know, on a trip and you're just... This song comes on and you're like, wow, this is so cool. I like the "love is all, love is you" line. And the middle part has some strange sounds to it, but it's just so cool. This song is awesome. And this is a John song, and I love it. What do you got?
It's okay. I like the vocals. I like the way they sound together, but I think this song goes on too long, too.
It's not that long. It's only 2 minutes and 45 seconds.
It feels long.
All right. You never gave me your money. This is another great Paul song. Piano, bass, guitar, vocals are great. I love the line out of college, the money spent, see no future, pay no rent. I love that line. And also, I like One Sweet Dream, pick up the bags, get in the limousine, and then they count off at the end, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I thought that was awesome. And this is the song that he notoriously forgot the lyrics to in 2002. I don't know why he didn't have a teleprompter on stage with him, but the audience had to help him finish it, and then he just decided he was going to sing it that way for the rest of the tour with him forgetting the lyrics. So that was kind of weird. This is a cool song. I love it. Again, so I'm thinking, how do you come down on it?
No, I like this song. I like this song.
A lot?
Yeah, well, it starts the big medley, so you can't skip this song.
No.
But then that kind of negates what I'm about to say about Sun King.
I like Sun King too. It has a similar sound to Because in a way. The foreign language part's cool. I don't know what language that is. Is that French, Italian? I don't know.
It's like pseudo-Italian. It's nonsense Italian.
Yeah, I like Sun King. But I'm thinking you don't.
Not really. This one goes on too long, too.
It's only 2 minutes and 26 seconds.
It's a long 2 minutes and 26 seconds. It makes me think I'm back at work again. That's how slow it is.
Oh, man. Come on. Mean Mr. Mustard?
Oh, this is a cool song. These next two are great.
Typical John song. The lyrics are crazy, but it's quirky. It's great, though. And is John and Paul singing together on this again at one point in the song? It sounded like the two of them, but I was worried that you were going to tell me it was an overdub of John.
I don't know. I don't remember.
Yeah, this song's cool, though. And then it rips right into Polyethan Pam.
Polythene.
Which also is a great song. It's a little, it's a rocker. The guitar sounds great, and it's another typical John song. But I mean, it's just fantastic. I mean, yeah, and then that just rolls right into the next song. So I'll let you talk a little bit about both of these. What do you think?
Oh no, they're fun. They're really fun. I like Mean Mr. Mustard. I kind of like Mean Mr. Mustard more than Polythene Pam, just because I like the character, the way the character is described. Better.
Yeah, he does a great job with that too.
But they're both really cool songs, and I believe Her Majesty was supposed to fit in between those. Such a daddy old man. Daddy old man. Her Majesty's a pretty nice girl, but she doesn't have a lot to say. Her Majesty's a pretty nice girl, but she changes from day to day. I wanna tell her that I love her a lot, but I gotta get a belly full of wine. Her Majesty's a pretty nice girl, someday I'm gonna make her mine, oh yeah, someday I'm gonna make her mine.
That would have been weird.
I think, because the last note of Her Majesty is underneath the beginning of Polythene Pam.
Okay.
That's why it gets cut off, the last note of Her Majesty is missing, that's because it's underneath the beginning of Polythene Pam.
Yeah, both these tunes are great.
And they decided to cut it for pacing reasons, and
all right, so after we get to the end of Pam, and all of a sudden you just hear John say, oh, look out, and then it rips right into She Came Through the Bathroom Window, mm-hmm. which is another freaking awesome song. I like the lyrics are great. Worked in 15 clubs a day. I like to crank this tune. I just love it. And I hate the Joe Cocker version too. So that's all I got for that one, but it is a fantastic song.
Yeah, I don't know how great the lyrics are though. I mean, I'm still wondering what Detected by a Silver Spoon means.
Yeah, I have no idea, but I just like it.
Apparently this is based on a true event that happened to Paul. Some of the groupies that hung outside his house, they saw that his bathroom window was open. So they scaled up the wall and broke into his house and stole stuff. And he was very upset about that because he'd gotten used to the groupies that are hanging outside his house. He'd gotten kind of used to them, and he'd gotten familiar with a couple of them. And so he was really upset when they crossed that line and actually stole stuff from him. So he spoke with some of the cooler ones and said, listen, you know, I'm not going to do anything, but I would like some of my stuff back. Some of those photos are irreplaceable. So the women talked amongst themselves and were able to retrieve a lot of the stuff that was stolen and give it back to Paul.
That's interesting.
So it's based on a true story.
Yeah, some of the lyrics are nonsensical, but I still like them.
Yeah, that's kind of my problem with McCartney's songs, much more so than the fact that he writes granny music, is the fact that you can tell that a lot of his lyrics were written off the cuff, off the top of his head, and he never bothered to go back and better them.
Wow. Are you bagging on Paul today or what?
No, I'm participating in a Paul McCartney podcast, so obviously I don't have a big problem with him, but I do have a problem with some of his songs just don't make any sense. And I like songs that make sense.
I gotcha.
That's the one thing I look for in a song, is that I can tell that it's been written and hasn't just been thought out loud. It really bugs me when I'm trying to listen to lyrics to songs and then find out that the lyrics mean nothing.
Well, I'll give you that. Like I said, some of the lyrics in that song are nonsensical. They don't make sense, but I don't know. I just like it. I think it works. On to the Golden Slumbers medley, which I'm going to let you get some opening remarks here.
Well, I don't know what to say. This is just... All three of these songs, even though it's more like four or five songs, are great. Golden Slumbers is based off a poem that Paul read, something like that, or an old song that he saw.
Yeah, I remember reading it. It's either a poem or an old song, you're right.
Yeah, so it's really nice, and Carry That Weight is great. It's cool to hear the Beatles trade off guitar solos. I still don't know who is who, although supposedly that's out there, which solo belongs to which Beatle.
Yeah, that's the one of the coolest parts of Carry That Weight.
Yeah, and it was awesome to hear Paul do that live. Way back when I saw him live.
Yeah, it was great. This song's awesome live. Anytime it's played live, it's just fantastic.
And The End is a great song too. I mean, it's really cool that it's like they knew this is our last album, so we have to come to some kind of conclusion. So they actually do. Everything is building up. The whole Beatles discography is building up to these phrases, even though Let It Be came out afterwards.
So does this make up for some of the other songs on here you don't like?
Oh, yeah. I love most of side two. I probably would skip because it doesn't fit, but I'm kind of stuck listening to Sun King because it comes between Give Me Your Money and Me, Mr. Mustard. But I really like side two. I like the fact that it's like this giant piece of music. And I know I read that Lennon was really upset about it later on during his curmudgeonly days.
Yeah.
And he was saying that it was all Paul's idea and he wasn't for it. But that's obviously wrong because he wrote these little song snippets and he worked out how to fit them together. So he was part of this decision. It wasn't like it was forced on him, and it wasn't like they took his songs and edited them down to fit into the medley. So,
yeah, I read that as well. That he hated this album. Yeah,
he's just being cranky.
But his output on this album is fantastic. So I mean, I don't know how he could hate it, but you're right. He was cranky there in the 70s.
I don't think he liked being a house husband as much as he said.
Oh, no. No.
Maybe that's why. Maybe Sean was making such a big mess, and the Rolling Stone reporter would call him up, and John would get upset because he had to clean pancake batter off the walls or something. And then he'd go, I hate the Beatles. Quit calling me about the Beatles. They're terrible. What Abbey wrote? I hate that album.
Yeah, I can see that going down like that, too. Phil Collins does a great cover of this medley. It's on YouTube. It's really good.
You know who else did a cover of this?
Who?
Jimmy Buffett.
Really?
He only did it live, though. But But he did part of the medley.
I'd like to hear that.
I have a bootleg of it. Guitarist Peter Mayer released an album of Beatles covers, and Buffett is actually on it. It's Rocky Raccoon.
Oh, that's kind of cool too.
Yeah, it was, and I meant to mention it during the White Album shows, but I forgot.
I wrote down. There's a good cover version that McCartney did on "Trippin' the Live Fantastic." That sounds great. I mean, that was his comeback tour. It was 1989-90. And he was in great voice, and that version on that album is fantastic.
Yep, that's when I saw him.
And
the Silverdome.
I really like Ringo's drums on this is great.
And
he has that awesome drum solo that just is killer.
Yeah, it's kind of funny that he gets made fun of so often because of his unimaginative drumming, and then he has what could be the greatest drum solo of all time on this album.
It's pretty damn good. And, you know, when he screams, "You're going to be in my dreams tonight," that's just awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Then, like we already talked about, the three Beatles doing their own guitar solos, which is just freaking, you know, awesome. And the love you, that's just great too.
Love you.
And then the piano comes on, and then McCartney comes in with the, you know, the iconic line with the love you take is equal to love you make. And thank you, Paul, because that is one hell of a way to end this album.
You make.
And then it comes back with Her Majesty, and for some reason that was cut off on my upload to my phone, and I didn't get to hear it. It's only 23 seconds, so tell me something about it.
When they decided to edit it out, the guy in charge of making acetates that the Beatles could take home and listen to, they're like cheap little vinyl records, well, acetate records. He didn't know what to do with that piece of tape. He hated to throw it out because it's like the Beatles. You're not supposed to throw out stuff that the Beatles record. So he just slapped it on the end of the tape that they made the acetate from, and when the Beatles took it home, they heard the medley, and then there was like 14 seconds of silence, and then Her Majesty pops up. And they loved that. They loved having this hidden track, like an Easter egg, way back when they didn't even call them Easter eggs. So that's why it's on there. It was just happenstance that it's like 14 seconds from the end of the song, or the end of the album. It just pops up like an afterthought, and the Beatles just love that idea, so they insisted that that's the way it should be on the album, the released album.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Like you said, it's a hidden track, and it's cool. My computer just crashed on me, but I found out this morning that that when they first pressed the album, they didn't list that as a track, and then later pressings they added it as a track.
Mm-hmm.
So
they didn't add it as a track. They added the title.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, I mean, I thought that was kind of cool too. So, and on a whole, how are you rating this album?
Well, I give it a thumbs up, but not as emphatically as I've done other albums. It's kind of weird because some people would say that Abbey Road is their most favorite Beatles album, but there are parts of it that I just don't care for.
Yeah, it's probably my number two. I just love it. It's I don't know. I've always liked it.
But the stuff, the good stuff on it is so good that it outweighs the tracks that I don't like, and it's great for a band to go out on top like this. You think of other bands where their last album is just stuff that they cobbled together and is like barely listenable. It's just like a contractual obligation album or something, but this album has a lot of great stuff on it.
So they went into the studio for the Get Back sessions, which turned into Let It Be, and George Martin wasn't involved in that, right? So they go, the Get Back sessions fall apart, and they're arguing, and then Paul calls up George Martin and says, we want you back. We're going to go back and do an album like we used to do back in the, the old days, however you want to put it. And George says, you got to let me do what I do, and you guys can't meddle as much. And Paul says, oh, yeah, no problem. We need you back. And this is what they come back with, Abbey Road. So that in itself is cool. So on the list of Beatle albums, what's your number two? What's your top two? Because we're almost at the end here. No, the discography. So
my top two. That's tough because I've got a bunch that are tied for number one and number two. But I have a great affection for Help. But I don't know if I'd pick that as my number one album. And, man, I don't know. That's tough. Sgt. Pepper's has such great stuff on it, but I don't even know if I'd pick that for number one. And Revolver, I think they're all tied for number one.
Yeah, they've got so many good albums.
There's no way I can answer that question. I'd have to cheat and do what I'm doing right now and say that it's a tie.
But we know you like Help a lot.
Yeah, I do. I really like Help.
It's tough, but if they had to pin it down right now, today, I'd probably say Rubber Soul and Abbey Road. But it's going to change tomorrow, probably. But
Yeah, definitely. It always does.
That's right now, as we're talking about it. So I guess we want to go back and do those three tunes now off Yellow Submarine?
I don't know. I was thinking we should lump those all together with the Past Masters songs.
So we are doing those?
I think we should.
Before the end of the year?
I don't know about that. Yeah, I don't think so. I think that would be like the first thing we do at the beginning of the year.
So next week you want to do Let It Be Naked then?
Yeah, Let It Be and Let It Be Naked.
And be done for the year?
Yep. Yeah, that'll be good. We'll do the official albums. And then we'll do the extra stuff in 2015.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, it kind of makes sense.
All right.
Oh, hey, you have to do a news segment on Paul's single.
Oh, my God. Have you heard it?
Yeah, I did.
What did you think first?
I liked it. I only listened to a couple of the remixes, because I usually don't like remixes. As a matter of fact, I think I only listened to two of them, and I think there are four or five.
Yeah, I think there's five, yeah.
Yeah, I listened to the first two. And the first one wasn't bad. The second one was the type of remix that I hate, where it just sounds like they used GarageBand to add loops to it.
Yeah, there.
But as far as the song goes, I thought the song was really good.
Really?
Yeah, I really liked it. And I love the orchestra. It's like a full symphonic orchestra behind him.
Yeah, it's kind of epic sounding, but I don't know. I need to listen. I've listened to it twice. I need to listen to it again.
I was impressed because I thought it was just a bunch of build up. Just because, oh God, Paul's got a song, big deal. He had a whole album just a couple months ago. But then when I'm listening to it, it's like this song is actually pretty good.
And it's for a video game. Destiny is the name of the game. I don't know anything about it, but yeah. I mean, I have to listen to it again. Like I said, I don't know how I totally feel about it. There was one mix that I heard of the five that I really, really liked. I thought it was better than the first one, which is the official release. But on a whole, I don't know. I don't know how I feel yet.
Wow.
We'll talk about it again next week.
I'm shocked. I figured you'd like it more than I would.
Yeah, I'm gonna,
just the opposite.
I'm gonna have to listen to it one more time. We'll come back to it next week. Right now, I'm not giving it a thumbs up or a thumbs down. What do you think about how does his voice sound? What do you think of his voice?
I thought it sounded good.
Yeah, you can definitely tell a lot lately that he's lost a lot of his range. But I guess it didn't sound bad. He sounded worse than other stuff.
Yeah, that's an album of standards that he put out a year or so ago. I thought did not sound good.
Yeah, did you hear the whole thing?
No, I've only heard snippets of it, and I was so put off by just the clips that I heard that I wasn't interested in hearing the rest of the album.
Yeah, it's his voice definitely shows its age in that album. But I like what I like about that is he's got Diana Krall's band behind him, so I thought that kind of made up for it because I like her a lot. Mm. But we'll get to that album. We'll talk about it. So 2015, we'll get into his stuff. Is that our schedule now?
Yeah, looks like it.
And we'll do Past Masters.
Two songs from now? I suppose we're going to do Past Masters as two shows, right?
Yeah.
So three songs into 2015, or three shows into 2015.
Okay.
And yeah, four shows from now.
Yeah, that'll be cool. That's a good schedule. I mean, we kind of covered a lot of the stuff in Past Masters, but I don't think we didn't do a lot of in-depth.
Yeah.
On it, but
yeah, we mentioned almost all the songs, but we didn't actually review anything.
Right. Okay. So we'll do one more show this year, and then we'll start off 2015 with the other with the new schedule.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'll talk to you later.
Okay.
All right. Bye.
Bye.